Okay, well, I'm talking with Peter Hill here on With Chat on Radio Wivenhoe, and we've explored so far the ideas about why Peter is in Wivenhoe, or what brought him here in the first place, and his involvement with the Scout, which is quite crucial, and also many of his achievements with the Town Council. And this has all really coincided with a period of expansion and many different things going off. And for a relatively smallish town, I think communication is always quite key, and it can be a problem, and it needs to be handled, I think, in a very inclusive way. And one of Peter's, I think, major achievements is the setting up of the Wivenhoe Encyclopedia, which is, well, if you just Google Wivenhoe, it is the main thing you'll come to online. And it is, I think, it's not really stretching the point, it's this much loved website, which is quite random, but it's very, very Wivenhoe. And certainly for me personally, it was my own main source and guiding source when I was exploring ideas to live here. So, Peter, the encyclopedia, how on earth did the idea first come for that? What was your involvement? What were the next steps, please?
So it came about through in 96. The town council at that time was 9 people. We just had an election. I found myself as the only councillor who'd got any experience on the council. There was the only other person was Len Horner, who we'd seconded onto the council 18 months previously when there was a vacancy, and the other 7 people were new boys and girls. So I set out a plan which I wanted to the council to work towards as a framework, and I suggested one of the things was to take advantage of what was then new. It was the 20th anniversary of the World Wide Web, and I mentioned the World Wide Web, and Len Horner was the person that picked up the idea, and he worked with the university to create the first iteration of, it wasn't called the Encyclopedia, I think it was just called the Wivenhoe website in those days, but it was done with the help and assistance of the university. So the real credit from that was taking my idea and turning it into practice, and that goes to Len Horner and the university people.
And did you have any the people yourself personally and the people you're working with any IT or any online skills at the time?
No. I guess I had a bit, but not in terms of programming or so I helped design computer systems, but. That was kind of a bit later, but I'm not sure why where the idea actually came from to take the. I think maybe it was the slight frustration that the university weren't keeping the original website up to date, and it was mainly a website to talk about what businesses were you could approach in Wivenhoe. So it was a very limited thing, but it was good in its day, and. So I found myself exploring the idea of a better website for Wivenhoe and put forward a proposal, and I guess if you put forward a proposal and everyone tends to take a step back, and that's what kind of happened to me. So I found myself creating the website with the assistance of someone who volunteered in Wivenhoe, and it kind of grew each week. I'd create an extra 5 or 10 pages, and in the 6 years or so that I was running it, I think I created something like 1,500 pages.
Which I'm just trying to think now in my mind, most people must know how tedious or how time-consuming any form of online publishing is. It is, I think, often think it would be quicker to physically write a letter, put a stamp on it and post it to every single house. How many hours, Peter, have you put in? Could you even try to think about your input for the encyclopedia?
Oh, I think it used to be between 5 and 10 hours a week, and it was probably more like 10 hours a week. But Jason, let me put the question back to you, because you're the latest person that's putting a huge amount of effort into promoting the idea of internet and the use of internet to communicate with people in the houses. So how much time you must put a few hours each week into the efforts you're putting into the Wivenhoe Forum? And
I do try and limit blog. It. Certainly for my blog, I've learned some harsh lessons. This is like going back sort of 10 years or so, and that you need to actually live a life to actually then produce a life online. And I've been in the past living in London, maybe spending an hour and a half writing a single blog post, which is just totally ridiculous. So now I just think you should really go out and see people, and that is primarily what you're doing. And then if you reflect it online, all the better. But I spend now perhaps about half an hour a day doing a blog post. I went out last night to, it was really quite an exciting neighbourhood action panel meeting. It got quite lively. I came back home straight away, and I probably spent a maximum of 45 minutes. I think if I'm spending more than an hour writing a blog post, it's too long. People are going to spend 5-10 minutes reading it. So I think you do need some cut-off point.
But you've realised, as I've realised, that unless the website is up to date, then gradually people lose interest in it. And that's what I learnt from the original attempt by the university to create a website for Wivenhoe. And it requires a lot of time and effort which you need to invest in doing it. But it's one of those things that you have to do. If you've got a passion for it, I think you've got a passion for what you've been doing in with radio and the forum, etc. And I had that passion at the time and made the time available to invest in it. And it paid off because it was again a sort of proud moment was when we had 250,000 visitors to the site. So it was there were 250,000th, whatever it is, in its visitor to the site was a proud moment.
Yeah, so what I like, Peter, particularly about the encyclopedia and what you must find yourself, as I experience, is that when you put things out there online, then opportunities and ideas come your way. And so I imagine you must have met so many people via the encyclopedia. So you are published something, or people become aware as to who you are and you're the person publishing, and they invite you to various events. And so that must have been almost secondary from your own scouting involvement as your first route into Wivenhoe Society. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine the encyclopedia as well has also presented you with lots of opportunities.
Oh, yes, and the, you know, the encyclopedia could have taken my life over, I guess, what I was trying to do was to create a shop window, one way to put it, for businesses, a shop window for all the organisations. It's a place that people wanted to find out about the Wivenhoe Society. Then I created a website for them as part of the umbrella that the Wivenhoe Encyclopedia. So the name, I chose the name because it was very particularly what I wanted to achieve. It's a place people go to find out information. So find out information about what is happening, what social events are happening, how to find out an organisation, what the organisation does. And I also wanted to promote Wivenhoe's past, because at that stage it was Nick Butler's book, which was the authority on the history of Wivenhoe. So that was a logical thing to start putting pages into the encyclopedia. And people like Tony Forsgate and others have contributed their memories about their family or early days of the cricket club. And I also wanted to promote Wivenhoe in terms of its artistic, because there's about sort of 30 artists here at various degrees of proficiency and selling their work, etc. So the artists, I felt, needed a way to have a shop window as well. And so I set about creating a web page for every artist in Wivenhoe as a deliberate attempt. So, and that's been, and it's been another way to get to know people, but that wasn't the aim to get, it was a sort of secondary byproduct of doing the encyclopedia, but it was to do this promoting a Wivenhoe thing.
And if you do go to the encyclopedia, one of the main sections, or one thing that you'll see, is a very, very useful section all about the engine shed. So I think you can see what's coming here, Peter, as he takes a quick breather for his wine to compose himself. Now, what I find, I think it's worth emphasising and quite interesting, and so you mentioned your scouting involvement, your incredibly admirable 25 years, almost a life sentence, on the town council, and you mentioned you've taken a step backwards, but you haven't really, because I think you're still quite active and very central in Wivenhoe life. And so bringing this whole conversation, making it very contemporary and making it very relevant to current times, I would say we should be careful about what we say, but I'm sure we're not going to trip each other up. But one of the main issues right now in Wivenhoe is about the St John's Ambulance Building, which has become related to the engine shed. So my understanding is the engine shed, which my personal view is quite an eyesore, it's very hard to argue against that. Funding before my time was tried to be sourced, and there is some money available. and the engine shed sadly didn't really see its potential. But there is almost an engine shed too with the St John's Ambulance building.
Well, let me clarify something that in 94, which is when we started the idea of the engine shed, was to find another community place in Wivenhoe for the performing groups, because they've used the William Lovelace Hall over the years. It's kind of been useful for the groups, but it's very annoying for the regular groups who use the hall during the daytime to be kicked out for Gilbert and Sullivan, for example, take over the hall for an entire week, which means the organisations who ordinarily meet in the William Lovelace Hall during that week have to find somewhere else or cancel their meetings. So it's very disruptive to that sort of life in Wivenhoe. And so we had a look around, and I found myself as part of a group of people with Peter Cook and Ian Hunter and others to look around at where we might find another building. And some people remember the barns at Cross Farm. The first building we were looking at that stage was Cross Farm, before realising that was not going to be a feasible building. This wasn't right at all. But then it was later on that we said, what about the engine shed? Some people still used to be very quick to correct us and say it's actually technically a good shed. It was never an engine shed. It was engines. There's a sign outside that said never allow engines inside the building. But
been derelict for how long, please?
Oh, since beaching in 1974.
And it shows really from the outside.
Yes, but the walls were sound. So it was... And it was, if you go back to 1994, it was the early days of the lottery. There's a lot of lottery money available. And when we approached Network Rail, they were trying to let the building, and we got the commercial director from Network Rail to Wivenhoe, who, when he saw the building, and we had a commercial manager there as well, he suddenly realised why they're being unsuccessful in letting the building. And Bernard Jenkin was at that meeting, and it was actually because Bernard was there that we got the director down. And the director said to us we could have the building for a nominal sum, and so we're all excited because there was lottery money at that stage. But gradually the lottery people said, and it's really because of lack of getting money from the lottery rather than the fundamental idea has always been sound. To try and find a place for performing groups, for meetings, etc. And I've seen there's been a need for those to increase in facilities over all these many years. And so it was failure to attract the funding. And we ended up realising that we were competing against the visual arts facility in Colchester. And there was no way that we were going to get any money for here in Wivenhoe. There have been so many barriers put up. We were told we would need to get, raise £40,000 just to pay for consultants we eventually realised we were trying to push water uphill, and we gave up on the engine shed 3 or 4 years ago. So there was we'd raised, apart from the potential for grant money, which we had £100,000 promised to us by the Railway Heritage Grant, but we didn't draw down on those grants at all. Well, we did manage to do. We've raised £18,000 locally, and of that, £12,000 still exists.
And that's money from local people who were very supportive of the idea of having this community space.
Yes, and we had raised money through various events and activities, and about £5,000 was raised by direct donation to the fund to create the fund. So there's about £12,000 left, which. So I've also been part of the group that's been looking at how to use the St John building. St John, it's a building I know pretty well because I was invited to become president of Wivenhoe St John quite a few years ago in memory of Mrs Ruth Munson, who was the previous president who died, sadly. But she had a good life, and I was very honoured to succeed her as president of Wivenhoe St John. So that was for a few years I've been going down to support the small group of people that were active in the hall.
So when did this group first emerge, and when was their interest in the St John's Ambulance building, please?
Well,
it does seem from some people in the town, I think the issue is out there, the facts are there, an application has gone in to demolish the building and to build a private art studio and private accommodation. For the record, I personally have lodged an objection to this on the Borough Council website. So that's being very, very transparent. But people have been thinking, okay, so this community-based group now, who are having almost a rival bid, have only just emerged. Why has your information just become public?
Peter Cook and I had a look at the engine had a look at St John Ambulance Hall after we decided to give up on the engine shed, and while we were considering whether we could get a bid together to buy the St John Ambulance Hall, the cinema group suddenly popped up with a public meeting and made themselves very visible. And so rather than us try and compete with another community-based group, Peter Cook and I decided, and with the other trustees of the Engine Shed project, that we would withdraw and back off, let the cinema group have a go at trying to acquire it for their purposes. And frankly, after the cinema group decided to withdraw, my life as professionally has become so busy, and Peter Cook also had gone we were both doing lots of international travel, and kind of things have moved on a bit in our lives and the other trustees as well. But it was the new neighbour to the St John Ambulance Hall was the person that got in touch and said, we're interested in putting some money in, and there is he got some rekindled some enthusiasm to acquire the building. And let me make it clear, and I know Prue Green very well. I've promoted, you know, you'll see plenty of Prue Green's photographs I've taken of Prue Green over the years on the encyclopedia. So I feel very sorry that we're finding ourselves up against as a rival bid for the building. But I have a history of wanting to do things in the community for increased community facilities. So for me, this is something natural. I'm not trying to do something to deliberately frustrate Prue and none of us in the group that's supporting the future of the St John building as a building suitable for meetings, for exhibitions. I'd love to have if we were successful, love to have an exhibition of Prue Green pottery there, for example, an exhibition of paintings. That's what we think the building can be ideally used for. And this formula, again, as a building run by a charity, run by volunteers, we can keep the costs incredibly low, and it can be used for the things that people have been talking about, but owned by a group of people for the community.
And the funding is there, it's all in place, and so if you're given the opportunity, you could progress with this.
Absolutely.
Because, I'm just thinking that, I've made people very aware as to, I'm quite supportive of what you're doing, but I think if Prue's application is turned down, that then puts a tremendous amount of pressure upon you to deliver, and are you quite confident that then you can step in and actually fulfil your ambitions?
Yes. Reasonably confident, let me be honest, but we've certainly got the money to meet the asking price that St John want for the building. That, and a number of us believe sufficiently in the project to want to put our own money towards this. And curiously, the building was owned by the St John, I think, in about 1960. It was bought by local business people for St John from the previous owner. So we're not doing anything new, but we've got the money together through our own personal donations that would go into a charity that has the money right now to buy the building. We need to raise more money to refurbish the building. The building is structurally sound. It does need refurbishment in terms of a better kitchen. It does need a new electrical system in. It does need better heating. It would need a new roof. So we would need to raise some money. We've explored the possibility of grant funding. There is still some lottery money kicking around. There is some other organisations that still... It's not as though all the grant money is dried up completely. There are still some organisations that seem to have quite a lot of money available. And I think this is a scheme that has the potential of being successful.
Okay, so that is one for the future, the very, very near future. I think I'm right in saying that any correspondence of support or objections have now passed the date with Colchester Borough Council. Mm. So we shall wait and see how that one resolves itself. So that could be maybe, Peter, a good time to perhaps conclude this particular chat. One thing which I found very interesting is just speaking with you is this idea of civic pride, which you clearly have, and that has manifested itself within the town, you know, throughout your period here from 1972, be it from the Scouts to the town council, to what you're still currently doing. And that must be something which you maybe weren't expecting back in 1972, but it's a theme which has just stayed with you in Wivenhoe. So Peter Hill, thank you so much for your time here on WivChat. If you want to put yourself through something similar to this, I will try and get some better quality wine for my next guest, but we seem to have done rather well. Please do get in touch. It's as easy as just emailing me, jason@radiowivenhoe.co.uk. And thank you to Peter for his time. That has been really, really informative. Someone who has been very much at the centre of Wivenhoe life for the past 25, 30 years or so. So thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Jason, for the opportunity of telling my story, as it were. It's been really enjoyable.